is the gospel? You know, over the past several months, we have been looking at questions that people have asked on the internet. These are the top religious questions. And the search engines publish these questions on a yearly basis. They say, well, what are the top questions that were asked this year? And one of those top questions was this: what is the gospel? And so I thought we'd spend some time this morning thinking about that question. Let's start off in Romans chapter 1 and verses 16 and 17. Romans chapter 1, verses 16 and 17. The Apostle Paul writes this: for I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein, that is within the gospel, is revealed a righteousness of God from faith to faith, as it is written, the righteous shall live by faith. And so the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. That's what Romans chapter 1 and verse 16 says. What does the word gospel itself mean? Well, the word really means good news. It's from the English word, is from the word good, and the word spell is in spelling. And the idea is, you know, spelling it out. The good announcement, the good proclamation, the good news, sometimes we say. And it comes, a very good translation, from the Greek word euangelion, which also means the good message. And so the word gospel just means good tidings. And in that regard, when we see the word gospel used in the Bible, it's talking about something good that's being proclaimed or being announced. But then the question that we want to follow up with is this: what is the good about the gospel, right? What is the good thing within the gospel? And that's what I'd like for us to think about this morning as we think about what is the gospel. Well, as we mentioned, first of all, the gospel is the good news. And why is it good news? Well, it's good news because, first of all, the gospel speaks about the kingdom of God. In fact, some of the very first passages in the New Testament and where the word gospel is used has Jesus talking about the coming kingdom. In Matthew chapter 4, verse 23, it says, and Jesus went about in all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, and watch it, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, or the good news of the kingdom, and healing all manner of disease and all manner of sickness among the people. In Mark chapter 1, verses 14 and 15, it says, now after John was delivered up, Jesus came into Galilee, preaching the gospel of God and saying, so here's the content of the gospel of God. What is it that he said? He said, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent you and believe in the gospel. So think about the content of the gospel here as Jesus sets it forth. The kingdom of God, repentance, faith, all of those things, and belief in the gospel itself. So it is the good news about the coming kingdom. And the kingdom is, of course, what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, I will build my church. And that kingdom Jesus announced was coming, and that was something that many in his day and age were anticipating and looking forward to, the fulfillment of the prophecies in the book of Daniel and in other of the Old Testament prophets. And so the gospel is the good news because it speaks of God's kingdom. But the gospel also speaks about salvation from sin. And that's another reason why the gospel is good news. In Romans chapter 3 and verse 23, we read, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And what does that mean? It means without the gospel or without salvation, we would be lost in sin. We would be separated from God. But with the gospel, there is wonderful hope. There is wonderful salvation. And that's good news. In Isaiah 59, verses 1 and 2, the same thing is taught. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot say, neither his ears heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, so that he will not hear. And so, you see, sin separates us from God. But the gospel is the good news that God is going to bring us back to him through this powerful message, the message of salvation. And so the gospel is good news because it tells us about salvation from sin. And the gospel is good news because it gives us reconciliation with God. Being in a condition of sin means that one is an enemy with God. But with the gospel, one can be reconciled with God and stop being God's enemy and start being God's friend. And Romans chapter 5 and verse 10 tells us just that. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. And so there's the message of the gospel, the good news. And it's good news because God offers us reconciliation through his Son, Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 18 says, but all things are of God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave unto us the ministry of reconciliation. And so the gospel is good news because of reconciliation. And the gospel is good news because it's the message that God has come to live with man. In John chapter 1 verse 14 it says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. In John 1 verse 18 says, no man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. So think about how that's good news. Because if you're separated from God in sin, and you don't have any hope of reconciliation, then you're lost. But now God has sent the gospel. It's his power for salvation. It reconciles man. It, in fact, brings God to the level of man through the person of Jesus Christ. And in that way, then, God pronounces wonderful fellowship and wonderful reconciliation. And that is good news. And so the gospel is the good news. But then secondly, the gospel is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And we see this proclaimed in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verses 1 through 4. Paul writes this, now I make known unto you, brethren, the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you received, wherein also you stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast the word which I preached unto you, except you believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins, according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he has been raised on the third day, according to the scriptures. So there's the gospel. There's what the Apostle Paul received and then delivered. There is the message of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 8, Paul writes there, remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, of the seed of David, according to my gospel. And that's the message of the gospel as well. The death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus. You see, that's the method that God uses to save mankind. The gospel is good news. It's good news that we have salvation from sin. It's good news that we have reconciliation. It's good news that we can have fellowship with God. But how do we get it? We get it through the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so the work that Jesus did for our salvation is the message of the gospel. And Jesus paid for our sins with his death on the cross. In John 19 and verse 34, we read, howbeit one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and straightway there came out blood and water. And Peter, reflecting on that sacrifice of Jesus, says this in 1 Peter 1, verses 18 and 19. Knowing that you were redeemed, not with corruptible things, with silver or gold, from your vain manner of life handed down from your fathers, but with precious blood, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, even the blood of Christ. There's the payment for sin. There is the sacrifice that was made so that we could be forgiven in the death of Jesus Christ. But notice also the burial of Jesus Christ puts away the old man of the flesh. In Romans chapter 6 and verse 4, we read, "We were buried, therefore, with him through baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we also might walk in newness of life." We were buried with him. When we were baptized into Christ, we were buried with Christ. And the old man of sin was put away, you see, just as the old fleshly body of Jesus was buried. And in that regard, our burial is, or Jesus' burial saves us when we are buried with him. Notice how Paul puts it in Colossians chapter 2 and verses 11 and 12. In whom you were also circumcised with a circumcision not made with hands. In the, watch it, the putting off of the body of the flesh. In the circumcision of Christ. How? Having been buried with him in baptism. Wherein you were also raised with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. So think there's two different metaphors being used here for forgiveness. Number one is circumcision. And he's referring here not to physical circumcision, but notice circumcision not made with hands. Well, what is that? That's a spiritual circumcision, a cutting away, if you will, of all of our old sins and putting them off. And then notice putting off the body of the flesh. And then how does that happen? Having been buried with him in baptism. So in the metaphor first being used, the metaphor of circumcision, all of our sins are cut away. In the metaphor of being buried, and I guess it's not really a metaphor since we're literally buried in water when we're baptized, but that's where our sins are cut away, as he says here in Colossians 2 and verses 11 through 12. And so the burial of Jesus is part of the message of the gospel. But then also we have the resurrection. And when as the burial puts away the old, the resurrection creates the new. You know, when Jesus was raised from the dead, he came forth with a new body, a powerful body, a spiritual body, the body that was going to return to be at the right hand of the throne of the Father and to reign eternally in that place. And that is hope for us as well, because Jesus is the first fruits. And what does that mean? That means we are the great harvest when Jesus returns. And as faithful Christians, if we have died before that return, we will be raised from the dead. And that resurrection will be a powerful one. But then notice how this works in our life right now, though. In Romans 4, verse 24, the Apostle Paul writes, "Who was delivered up for our trespasses and was raised for our justification." So the resurrection of the dead is associated with our justification. The word justify in the Greek New Testament is the idea of being made righteous. And that's the new man. That's the new person in Christ. That's the new life that Christians live, having put off that old person of the flesh, that sinful person, burying that person in the waters of baptism, and then he's raised up. And in that resurrection, he becomes a new creation that God makes for him. And that's what we see here. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 5 and 6. Even when we were dead through our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And raised us up with Him and made us to sit with Him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And Colossians 3 in verses 1 through 3 says, if then you were raised together with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated on the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things that are above, not on the things that are upon the earth. For you died, there's that death again, and your life is hid with Christ in God. And so that old man of sin was put away, and then we're raised up from the waters of baptism to live that new life in the same way that Jesus was raised up to have a new life as well. And that new life for the Christian is then reflected within his behavior, within his mindset, within his new attitude that he has in living for Jesus Christ each and every day. And so we died with Christ, we're buried with Him, and we're raised up to walk in newness of life. And so we're saved by the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But then third, when we think about the question, what is the gospel? The answer we have in Romans 1 verse 16 is this. It is the power of God unto salvation. Think about that for a minute. The power of God. It is first and foremost God's gospel. It's not my gospel in the sense that I originated it. Paul said it was his gospel in the sense that he preached it. And it's in that sense, it's my gospel too in the sense that I preach it. But it's not my gospel from the standpoint of origination, right? God originated the gospel. All of these things happened in His mind before the world even began. He was the one who thought up this plan. And so it belongs to Him. It is the power of salvation. Galatians 1 verses 11 and 12, we read, "For I make known to you, brethren, as touching the gospel which was preached by me, that it is not after man. For neither did I receive it from man, nor was I taught it, but it came to me through revelation of Jesus Christ." This is God's gospel. And in that sense, it's not man who is proclaiming this. It's God who is proclaiming this through the instruments of mankind. Peter says it like this in 2 Peter 1, verse 16 and verse 21. He said, "For we did not follow cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of His majesty." In other words, what is Peter saying here in this verse? He's saying, we didn't make this up. We didn't invent this. This story that we're telling you about Jesus Christ, that He died and He was buried and He was raised from the dead, it did not originate from us. It originated from somewhere else. Well, where did it come from, Peter? "For no prophecy ever came by the will of man, but men spake from God, being moved by the Holy Spirit." You see, it is God's gospel, and it's God's plan, and it's God's power. And in that regard, we've got to acknowledge it for that. It's God's power for salvation. And so that means that when we preach the message of the gospel, we are preaching God's message, God's plan, God's will, God's desire. "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation, everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is revealed a righteousness of God from faith unto faith, even as it is written, but the righteous shall live by faith." And if we want God's righteousness within our life, then we need to listen to the message of the gospel, God's gospel, and we will have God's righteousness. Ephesians 1 verse 13 says, "In whom you also, having heard the word of truth," the gospel of your salvation, "in whom, having also believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise." Notice the connection between hearing the word of truth and the gospel of your salvation. This word that we preach is God's word. This word that we preach is God's gospel. This word that we preach brings salvation. And when we're saved, when we believe, then we are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. It is God's power for salvation. And it is God's standard of judgment. Romans chapter 2 and verse 6, we read, "In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men according to my gospel by Jesus Christ." In other words, God has set forth this standard, and we are expected to follow this standard. And if we do not follow this standard, if we do not take advantage of the salvation which God offers through his standard, which is the gospel, then one day we will be judged by the gospel. And we will have to face the reality of having said to God, "No, thank you. I do not want to be saved. I do not want to believe the gospel. I do not want to follow in the steps of Jesus Christ, but rather, I will go it on my own." And God will say, "That is just fine. You have made your choice, and now there will be consequences to that." And that's what Peter also declares in 1 Peter 4 and verse 6. "For unto this end was the gospel preached even to the dead, that they might be judged indeed according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the Spirit." And so the gospel is God's standard for judgment. And then as we continue thinking about that point, we recognize that the gospel must be obeyed to have eternal life. It's God's standard for judgment, and because of that, we must obey it. And in 2 Thessalonians 1 and verse 8, it talks about those who will be given vengeance because they did not know God and they did not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Peter says in 1 Peter 4 and verse 17, "For the time has come for judgment to begin at the house of God. And if it begins first at us, what shall be the end of them that obey not the gospel of God?" If we put off obeying that gospel, if we say, "You know what, I'm not going to be obedient to the standard," then we put our life in our own hands. In Romans 16 and verse 26, the Apostle Paul said this, "But now is manifested, and by the scriptures of the prophet, according to the commandment of the eternal God, is made known unto all nations." That is, the gospel is made known unto all nations. For what purpose? Unto obedience of faith. And that is why we need to obey the gospel. Have you obeyed the gospel this morning? Have you given your life to Jesus Christ? Have you come into the likeness of his death, burial, and resurrection in baptism, and thus experienced the power of God unto salvation? If you have, then that is good news, because now you stand in a relationship with God that is one of being justified, being saved, being in fellowship, and having wonderful blessings that can only come through Christ Jesus. But maybe you haven't made that decision yet, and you need to. Well, this morning we can help you with that. We'd be glad to sit down and study with you more about what it means to obey the gospel. Or maybe you're ready now to do just that, to put Jesus Christ on in baptism so that you can have that beautiful forgiveness of sins. And if you'd like to do that this morning, then we're ready to help you. Or if you need the prayers of the church for some problem in your life that you are experiencing, many choose this time to make that request as well. And so whatever your need is this morning, we invite you to respond to God's message, which is the gospel. While together we stand and while we sing.